Hi, everybody. Welcome to Road to War, episode 32. I'm Nick.
I'm Will.
I'm Michael.
And today we're talking about Epic Gatsby.
God, I hate this guy.
All right, so we're going to start out going over what should be in all the good competitive eGatsby lists, and then we're going to go over what different factions can do to not get beaten quite as badly by eGatsby.
Correct.
You're still probably going to lose, though.
He is the best caster in the game.
Yes,
for sure.
You won't necessarily... There are certain things that are actually bad matchups for him, but they are few and far between. And they're very limited to
very
one or two factions.
Yeah.
And that, too.
All right. So first, what will be in the good eGatsby list? Start off with Bane Thralls. You add the UA. You add the Bane Knights. You add Tartarus.
Yep.
A main unit of Blood Witches with the UA at a minimum. You can max that out if you want. And then
Bile Thralls.
The main unit of Bile Thralls. And then probably two Arc Nodes.
Yes, and I would say you have to take at least one Defiler here. Because... Well, it helps you in a lot of Gatsby's problem matchups.
Which one is the Defiler?
The spray one.
Okay.
That actually helps.
It helps you a lot against Circle.
I was about to say, I'm assuming you're referring specifically to Circle, which isn't, and a Defiler isn't unique to just Asphyxius, but.
Well, Defilers in general are very good against Circle, because they can walk up, they can shoot a stone, and they need an 11 to kill with a boost, so that's
only
legit.
Really, but really they only need a 10, and then they have, your opponent doesn't have to roll
out. Correct. So it's an 11 or maybe a 10. So that's really good. And then it's still an arc node for channeling parasites, for channeling excarnates. Like, all that's just really, really good. Nick kind of went backwards for my list.
What, with about 10 points
but
left to play with?
The base list that I have that I think is the backbone of every competitive Asphyxius 2 list is Gatsby Defiler. I have a Death Ripper in mind because I really like those guys. Tartarus, Bane Knights, Bane Thrall UA, Bile Thralls, Blood Witches, and Blood Hag. If you take them in Blood Witches and max everything else, it is 45 points. So you have 11 points to play with. I really love Cankerworm with this.
Will fucking loves Cankerworm.
I do.
Cankerworm
is awesome.
A guy that you don't see that much anymore, but he is really useful. I think towards, like...
He does a lot of strange things that nobody really ever sees coming.
Yeah, He's also base path. He's probably one of the most utility and just useful powerful jacks in the game, and he's often overlooked because Crix generally doesn't want light jacks that aren't arc nodes. The same thing goes for Asphyxius. Most of the time, he just wants the arc nodes to run out so he can excarnate things. However, what Jason Flanzer had, when he was down for practice weekend, he has suggested, why don't you guys take Helldivers, instead? Because he's like, all you're doing really, Asphyxius's biggest problem, when it comes to his assassination is hitting high defense casters. Which, yeah, I know you get the curse, so Tartarus is at 9, the Banesfall UA is at 9 on the caster, but then all the rest of the Banes are only 8, so if you're looking at a defense 16 caster,
it gets dicey really quick.
Which is not what you want. So, but Helldivers, they're only 3 points, and they can pop up and then just slam either each other or something else into an enemy caster, and then you just definitely win the game, because nothing survives. Knockdown against Asphyxius's feet.
You even have, Tartarus charge their caster, curse them, and then have the Helldiver slam Tartarus.
Yeah.
Lots of things you can do.
So, that's, I think, your backbone. I really like putting in Cankerworm, as I just said. I also really like Gorman in there, because it allows you to cut back on the number of clouds you have to cast every turn, so you can actually afford to give some out to your Death Rippers, your Cankerworms, your Defilers.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to get away with only casting a mandatory one cloud per turn to protect Gatsby.
Gorman also,
he's also an asshole when you can't shoot him.
Well, that's what I mean. He also approaches very safely behind Asphyxius's clouds, and usually Asphyxius's army has so many threats that, it's hard for your opponent just to single out. Gorman should always be a priority for sure. But when you're I can kill Gorman or here comes Tartarus, it's like, holy crap, which one am I going to choose?
Correct. And even for those armies that can see through stealth, it now makes them start to pick targets of what they can shoot or what they should shoot. And any time that you make your opponent make a bunch of difficult choices, it's good. It gives them more chances to mess up.
I feel like in that against eGatsby, though, given the choice of shooting a Bane or Gorman, it's a pretty easy choice.
Tartarus or Gorman.
Sure, Tartarus, maybe.
Or the Bane Thrall UA or the Bane Thrall Banner.
I still feel like Gorman wins out because ultimately they probably want those models to die anyways.
Sure, but and that's kind of the catch-22 of Asphyxius, is even if you kill his army, it's just fueling his feet. You do have to kill it. Not killing it's not really an option, because he's just going to grind you off the table if you don't kill it. and you'll never actually get a shot at him because he's going to be camping so much fury and be behind so many clouds, and yeah. So with Asphyxius, his basic tricks are the caustic mist clouds, and there's really a lot more going on with those clouds than a lot of people give credit. A lot of people think, well, they're clouds, they block line of sight. Well, true. I mean, that's factually correct. They do a lot more than just block line of sight, though, with the caustic part of it, that you take a point if you enter them, really, really powerful, because it stops you not only from getting charged, but it stops them from advancing up infantry into you, all that kind of stuff. And then if you can do things like run to engage their infantry and then cast caustic mists on top of them, if they stand there and kill your guys, they die.
Yeah.
If they don't and they walk away, they take free strikes. So there's all sorts of these little tricks that you can do with caustic mist clouds that most people are not aware actually exist. And I feel like using caustic mist properly is probably the hardest part of Asphyxius and is one of the most rewarding parts of Asphyxius.
Yeah, that it's definitely a lot nicer to play a Gaspy player who never casts caustic mist than it is to not.
Or doesn't really understand what to do with it.
I was about to say, I think everyone knows to cast caustic mist on the approach. Because it's like, what else is he doing generally? Unless you get the Excarnate. But most of the time, like, you're just protecting yourself on the approach. But it's like, once you get into, like, melee with your opponents, it's like, well, it's like, caustic mist is really useful to, like, help clear out jams, to,
oh, it's
like,
ridiculous.
Keep things away from objective zones, anything
like
that.
If you can engage a unit of Errants with Bane Knights, and then put three caustic mist clouds in the front of them.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's really, really good. And that should not be underestimated by any means. When you play against someone who's really good with Gaspy and you lose your whole unit of infantry on your turn to caustic mist, it feels really bad.
I've actually never had that happen. I've never had anybody do that to me.
Well, they should.
Okay, that's fair.
Because that's, like, as I said, that's one of the best uses of caustic mist besides just simply blocking line of sight and blocking walk lanes, is using it offensively on infantry. You can also do all sorts of crazy things, like one-hit point infantry. Like, one-hit point mechanics, you can put it on their warjack, so they have to activate the warjack first before the mechanics,
well,
things like
then,
that.
The warjack either probably has to walk back if it wants to be repaired, or it doesn't get repaired that turn.
Correct, which can be very good. So, there's lots of weird things there.
You can prevent the Aurora assassination.
You can prevent the Aurora assassination with it. Guys.
Yeah.
We're playing Kingdom Rush, and Will's getting cross with us.
Mason, you head up to the store?
Mike started it.
That's fine.
All right.
I finished it.
Are you fucking...
Are you okay?
Kingdom Rush is a sweet game, guys.
It is. That's my recommendation
Jesus
for this week.
Christ.
All right.
I hate all of you. Okay. So the next big thing to be aware of is Excarnate, and I had kind of assumed that everybody knew what Excarnate was and how it worked. But after judging Lock and Load and judging,
War Games Con,
I've realized that this is just simply not the case. I saw a 17 model purge.
Yeah.
And a 14 model purge at those two events. And, that's better than most casters' feats.
Now, do you feel like people just like, straight up were unaware of it, or they kind of knew about it but didn't quite realize
I feel
how
like,
potent
correct.
It was.
I think that's what it is. I think everybody knows that you can excarnate up a bile thrall and then just like explode it way far up, but I feel like most people drastically underestimate the threat range of that. So if the, like, what is the maximum threat range from the bile thrall?
I think it's like
19
inches.
It's 19 inches.
Yeah. So if your model is within 19 inches of the bile thrall unit leader, it can get purged on.
Yeah. I mean,
like, can we just talk about that for a moment?
Yeah.
Fair and balanced, Will. Fair and balanced.
There really is no good way. If you're infantry heavy, like, you just can't let them excarnate you. So that either involves blowing
up. But that's almost impossible.
I know, but I'm saying that, like, ordinarily, like, most of the advice would be like, oh, you just spread your infantry out. It's like, well, guess what? That's really not gonna help you enough here.
See, that can help, actually.
A little bit, but it's,
we'll go into exactly how to position your infantry against Excarnates here in a little bit, and how to minimize the effectiveness, but how most people run the Bile Thralls of Asphyxius is in a little conga line. So when you kill the front guy that's the unit leader, it just cascades backwards. So they lose about an inch and a half to 2 inches per guy you kill. If you are playing an infantry-based army, it is paramountly important that you kill as many or all of the Bile Thralls as quickly as possible.
I feel like it's almost kill all of them or kill none of them.
No.
No. Because if you kill the ones in the front, which are the unit leader, it at least pushes him back.
Yeah.
Which can really help.
I still feel like as long as there's one left for him to excarnate, you're just going to get boned. And when I say kill, like, all or none, I don't mean don't try to kill them. I mean you either kill them all or you lose.
Correct. Well, not entirely, but yes, I see what you're saying. Like, if you can't kill them all, kill as many of them as you possibly can from the front of the unit, and for the love of God, do not walk around in shield wall.
No. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that against Kricks in general.
Correct.
Like, that's just...
But, so, yeah. Focusing on killing Bile Thralls is very good.
Is there anything in the E-Gatsby army that shield wall would really be relevant against? Maybe the Blood Witches. I think they're the only thing.
And they're even Pal 12s.
Not really, because they're Pal 12s, then 10.
I mean, if you're medium infantry, nobody cares. Like, whatever, you're armor 20. You don't give a shit about the Excarnate or the Blood Witches. But
you do when you do get excited.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Blood Witches blow up the world with Parasite.
Yeah, it's true. Give you the Pal 15 and the Pal 13? Ridiculous. So, if you were playing as the Gatsby player, protect your Bile Thralls. You can do this through a bunch of different ways. Caustic Mist Clouds are very important here. You can block them with models. You can even do things like overcommit all of your army, and then if they have a limited amount of shooting, they have to shoot your Bile Thralls, and then it gets other units there. Like, there's a lot of really good tricks. And maybe you even gambit your Bile Thralls against your Bane Knights. So you can be like, well, you can shoot the Bane Knights or you can shoot the Bile Thralls. You have to pick one.
Yeah.
And doing things like that with Asphyxius is a huge, huge, huge boon because basically it's a catch-22. Once again, Asphyxius is full of catch-22s. One way or the other, you're gonna get screwed. So you either get charged by Bane Knights or you get purged all over in that situation. So doing things like that, as Asphyxius, can really force your opponent's hand in certain directions.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very Kricks thing to do, which is threat saturation. Whereas, correct, like, you're just
but
running
in this case,
at someone.
In this case, it's, like, even more saturated than normal with the Bile Thralls. Because a lot of the times with Bile Thralls, you can just kind of back up a little bit.
Exactly.
And be like, whatever, they only have an 11-inch threat range.
Yeah, no, I understand for sure. But, yeah, like...
Turns out 19 is better than 11.
Yeah.
Is it actually 19?
Yes.
Is it 7,
7 inches... It's 7 inches
plus
from the bottom, plus the base.
Eight.
Plus 11. Eight. Yeah. Plus 19. 11. It's 19 inches.
Yep.
Trust me. It blows my mind every single time I do that to someone.
Yeah. And, yeah, so that's, it's,
and
I cannot stress how much you automatically lose the game when Gatsby excarnates a Bile Thrall on you.
So one thing to be aware of is, so a lot of Gatsby players, don't run them in the conga line. They
you
probably
should.
But that doesn't mean all of them do. So if they're not running them in the conga line, make sure you know
where they all are,
where the unit leader is. That is the number one most important Bile Thrall that you need to know where he is on the board.
Because when they excarnate, they have to put him in formation with the unit leader.
Yeah, and the other thing to remember is if, like, the Bile Thralls are only command 7. So if they don't run them in the conga line and they're kind of in a blob, like
shoot
amorphous,
the ones
like,
out of the middle.
Yeah, seriously. And if you aren't able to get to all the Bile Thralls, try and, like, manipulate
out of command.
Yeah, try and manipulate it to where, like, either, like, the leader is way off in the back or, like, try and do something like that, because that helps you out a lot. Because then the rest of the unit's, like, just dirtles.
There are some weird things.
Although they are.
Like, that's not exactly the best.
No, it's not. I'm just saying,
because
in general,
they can kill the unit leader, field promote it to someone else later,
yes,
and then walk up and excarnate anyway.
That is true.
So, yeah.
But if they're running their Bile Thralls in a just kind of willy-nilly fashion, they're probably not going to.
They probably don't really know the tricks that are involved with purging with Bile Thralls.
I have had to kill my Bile Thrall unit leader because I've screwed up like so many times to get him into the right place.
but
that's what the Warward Siren is for.
It's true. Yeah, speaking of which, I really like Warward Sirens with Asphyxius.
Yep.
On the feed turn, they can come back and Shadowbind a Colossal or something.
They can come back
super
and Shadowbind a Caster.
Well, they're Mat 5.
They're Mat 5. That's not ridiculous.
It's pretty balls. And then they also let your Arknotes run for free, which lets you do the 3 for Excarnate, boost to hit, upkeep Hellbound, and teleport
away. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Asphyxius is
Warward Sirens, primo.
Yeah.
Very, very good. A lot of people, including Keith Christensen, really like the Wither Shadow Combine with him. No. Keith is one of the guys that doesn't.
I don't like.
Eric does.
Yeah, Eric does. It really depends on what your second caster is, I think.
Sure. I don't think it's required by any means. I don't think it's particularly a bad idea.
I feel like 5 points that doesn't really do a whole lot other than a free upkeep with him.
Well, and it does let you... Puppet strings for the X-Carnate's really good. It also lets you puppet strings like Tartarus or something.
As somebody who has some experience casting high-cost spells, puppet strings is always better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it gets you three relatively accurate ranged attacks for clearing out small infantry jams, things like that.
Yeah.
And it can get rid of offensive upkeeps on your stuff with disbinding. If they're up there getting rid of their defensive stuff, something's probably going weird in this, in this list. It's just strange.
I mean, the Wither Shadow, I think, is, if they weren't character restricted, they'd probably show up in most Crix lists.
That's fair.
But as it is, for me, if my second is P. Denny, I think the Wither Shadow are much more important with her. Asphyxius is pretty much just a boss himself, and he doesn't need what they bring. I mean, it's just nice, but it's icing. It's nothing. Correct. Like, there's no business in there.
All right, so we covered Cloud, we covered Excarnate.
Teleport. I mean, if you don't know how to use Teleport, you're doing it wrong. Teleport is probably one of the big breaking points of Asphyxius. Like, one of the reasons why he is so overpowered is because he can come up, he can do an Excarnate, he can put down a Biothrall, and then he just gets to teleport away. Or he can walk up, he can feet, he can kill your three heavies with his feet, or kill your caster with his feet. Oh, it didn't work? Teleport away. Like, it just allows him to play so safe and so out of danger for the entire game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hellmouth helped with that, too.
What?
Hellbound.
Correct. So, yeah, and then even then, teleport combined with Hellbound. Like, you can charge a heavy, put 15, 20 points on it, teleport away, upkeep Hellbound, it can't get to you.
Generally,
like,
no.
Yeah. That's, like, even, I mean, like, sure, the speed, no?
It's 5 inches from him. It's not a 5-inch AoE surface.
Yeah, Scythians can't even get to you.
Yeah, they can.
No, they can't.
They have reach.
If you stayed at reach, yeah.
They're speed 6.
Yeah. So Scythians are, like, speed 6 things with Pathfinder that have
and
reach.
Standing reach. Of which there are.
Of which there are, like, Stalkers, Getarix, Scythian.
Getarix doesn't have Pathfinder, does he?
Touche. Stalkers, Scythian.
I just stopped and think, I was like, wait. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
I just always play some of Shifting Stones. He never actually walks anywhere. Who am I kidding? Also, Shifting Stones demolish Gatsby. But that's what the Defiler's for.
Yeah. Circle is a bad matchup for Crix in general, but we've already covered
that. Those are the two I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sure there are more.
Fiora?
Sure.
Well,
charged the Judicator with Asphyxius and didn't kill it, you're probably losing anyway.
Why
didn't the Bane Thralls just kill him?
Yeah, how is Asphyxius not just destroying the shit out of a Judicator?
Tiberian with Rush?
Yeah?
He might survive. Yeah, he might survive. Check the volume levels on our mics, because we're spiking.
Yeah,
I think we're okay. We're good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's an incredibly powerful trick that nobody uses.
Other thing...
Teleport?
Yeah.
No,
charging
that.
Heavies in the teleport. Oh, okay. Things like that. Like, these little attrition tricks that you can do with teleport that are just ridiculous.
For sure.
And then the spell that very few people actually realize Gatsby has is... Nobody cares about Death Knell. Parasite.
Ah, yes.
How does no one...
people not realize he has
the thing. Like,
there are so many people that just don't
cast
Parasite.
I was playing as Mike Creer. This is back when he... And this is what made me say, like, who the hell takes Fiora against, like, Crix? Because he had a Judicator that wandered out there. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to Parasite it and send in Wrong Eye and Snapjaw. Or, like, Snapjaw. I'm like, all right, well, I screwed up with my Fury Management last turn, so he already had one on him. I had to charge a living model next to him to get it for free and to get the distance. And then I just took three or four of my bite attacks on the Judicator and pretty much one-rounded it. Had, like, five boxes left. And my career was like, wow, I can't believe no one would cast Excarnate ever with it. I mean, Parasite with his caster. I'm like, that's stupid. And who the hell isn't casting Parasite?
Between the Banethrall armor debuff, your feet, and Parasite, you should pretty easily be able to kill 2 to 3 heavies on your feet turn.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Like,
more like 3 to 4, yeah. I'd say.
Well, 4, you're just starting to lose volume of attacks.
It depends. Like,
it depends on what they are, I guess.
Titans.
6 is the hit, sometimes
suck. 2 to 3, yeah. 6 is the hit, sometimes screw them.
Sure.
But if it's 10-19s,
yeah.
If it's the 10-19s or 10-20s, yeah. I will eat probably 4 of those with Banes, with Parasite.
I mean, either way,
I will agree.
You cast Parasite.
Cock heavies.
You cast Parasite, and then you just get a free heavy because of it. It's ridiculous.
I don't think that people don't know that he has Parasite, but
they
most
just
of the time,
don't think about it.
It's like, well, you're either excarnating, or Banes are eating something, and sometimes Parasite is overkill.
Sure.
Now, if he's charging in there, then why not? Because it's just like, I'll parasite you, then stab you a couple times and run away. If I didn't kill you, then I'll just upkeep it. And then something else will come and like, just touch you and you'll fall apart.
Parasite is one of the reasons why I run a Death Ripper with him.
Yes,
he goes with a Bane Thrall and Parasite. That Death Ripper is POW 18. So it hits as hard as an Ironclad.
Yeah.
And
it's the sustained attack one?
Yeah.
And that's sustained attack.
If they walk a heavy within 8 inches of it, you can channel the Parasite through the Death Ripper at it and then charge it. Like, you don't even have to run your other Arc Node over there. And you would be surprised how many people will do that. Yeah. Just walk their heavy, like, you just hide it in the middle of your Banes. And they're like, aha, I have such and such in the way. And you're like, cool. Banes kill what's in the way. Charge through.
Yeah. The other thing about Asphyxius that I actually do think is underused or no one ever remembers is throwing Dea Mortis. That combined with,
Excarnate
is, it sometimes it's just win more, but other times it's like that insurmountable, unbeatable level, like the same way, like, if Terminus gets souls on him, like, the first or second turn of the game.
Yeah.
Then it's like, sweet, I don't think I can lose, cause then Asphyxius is like, alright, now
well,
I have like,
you can get,
four or five
if you get
extra,
like, three or four souls.
Yep.
From an Excarnate Purge.
Excuse me.
That's plus five armor.
I mean, given the choice of,
that's a free Parasite.
I can have four or five extra focus next turn, or I can not have four or five
well,
extra
I agree,
focus
but
next
it's,
turn.
It's definitely something for Gatsby players to think about that not very many people actually do.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying is that
yeah.
it's a very obvious choice unless you're attacking something.
Correct.
There's no reason
well, and
to
I think,
not do it.
I think a lot of people don't do it because you have to charge to get the Excarnate off a lot of the times.
Sure.
In which case you can't do it.
Yeah.
But if, and so especially if you are going to get purged on, at least make him charge to do it so he doesn't get all the souls.
Yeah.
Because that's just totally ridiculous otherwise.
Yep.
Alright. That seems to be everything on Gatsby's card. Oh, also he's PAL 15. Why the fuck not?
Reach.
God.
He is only mat 6, which is the thing that always pisses me off.
Do you have sustained attackers?
No, that's
Gatsby.
Prime. That's Prime Gatsby. Who, in theory, kills everything under with his feet in melee, but it never works out. For some stupid reason or another. Like, I've tried that so many times and it never works, actually.
That was a good story, Mike.
I'm gonna tell it at a party later.
Just tell it at Will's wedding.
I will. Do that. Alright, so yeah. Epic Asphyxius, probably the best caster in the game.
I used to say P. Denny. I have changed my mind.
I think we all used to say P. Denny, partly because, like, her spell list is easily, like, she's just so good on so many levels.
She's very solid,
but
she
I think
a lot of skill to play, though.
Sure. Not that E-Gatsby doesn't, but
E-Gatsby at high level
takes
just
much
skill.
A really
skill.
Bad player can do a lot more with E-Gatsby than he can with P. Denny.
That's very correct. True. Very, very true. There's just such a high base power level. The floor is so high already. The ceiling is pretty high, too. But
in fact, I would think P. Denny might have the widest range from floor to ceiling of skill level in the game.
I haven't thought about it.
I would make that bold claim.
I will
right
summarily
now.
Agree with you, mainly because I've seen, like, P. Denny is just super easy to kill. Mm-hmm. And you can just screw up with her really badly.
She's definitely up there.
But whenever P. Denny is played masterfully, it is one of the
it
least
it feels
fun,
really futile.
It is one of the least fun games you can ever play in your life. Holy God.
Yeah. All right. So things Signar can do to beat E. Gatsby. Don't play Haley double Stormwall. You're just asking for it.
Do play P. Haley.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, 2 points. One. E. Haley double Stormwall requires E. Lich to play differently than he normally would, which means
sure.
he has to divide his army, which normally you would never want to do this in any situation, because you have to run up the sides to pretty much get around.
You have to use your three melee units, put one in the middle, one on each side, to get around the covering fires.
So, if you're an E. Lich player, and you've never actually played against double Haley Stormwall, and you try to just play the normal plan, you will actually lose. Like,
correct.
The first two times I played against that, I hadn't figured it out. And then Eric and Keith and Billy had like, dude, this is what you do. You just run around the sides and it's like, the list starts to have serious problems.
Right.
And you're like, oh yeah.
Whenever you can force Haley to split the two Stormwalls,
yeah.
it becomes an issue. Immediately.
But,
immediately.
Well, so Haley double Stormwall can also at any point just shoot Gatsby off the board. You really need
clouds.
To have three clouds down every turn to prevent that from
two's
happening.
Probably okay.
And that's, and
they can walk far enough. They
two
can
get you one Stormwall on you. You should never get both. And
sure.
one Stormwall ain't gonna do it.
But
and
two turns one Stormwall can.
Yeah, but the second they do that, you just kill the Stormwall.
How?
With your feet. You walk up, parasite it, feet, bring back the Blood Hag, walk up, dispel the Arcane Shield, it dies instantly.
Well, incidentally, the Blood Hag will also dispel Parasite, so it's kind of a wash.
Sure, well, you can, yeah, that's true.
Trust me, I've messed that up before. But also, the thing is, I know we spoke earlier about the clouds using it to protect your army. Against double Stormwall, if you're an Lich player, you screw your army, you have to protect Lich, put them in front of him, and don't be like, oh, I'm gonna try and protect some of my Bane Knights. Wrong, because you might get shot. You always put them just directly in front of Asphyxius.
Correct. As we said, playing Caustic Mist properly is one of the hardest things to do as Asphyxius, and the most important thing you can do as Asphyxius. So, forcing them to play it defensively, such as defending Asphyxius with it, not his army, is the first step towards beating Asphyxius.
Does Bane Silent let you ignore clouds?
I think so, yes.
Wait, I will check.
Mage Sight from Kray?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are probably both good against them.
No, not Kray.
But for sure not Kray.
Siege.
And I don't think Siege is particularly good, because I think you get that one big hit, and then you just don't care. And because he has Mage Sight, you just don't cast clouds, and you just camp 7.
Yeah, maybe.
So.
But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Signar, I think your best... I think E. Kane is... a pretty good matchup.
He can, it's acceptable.
You can reach out and get rid of some of the key pieces.
He has excellent ways to deal with Bile Thralls. Billy is under the impression that he is unexcarnatable, which is not true by any means.
Wait, that Kane is unexcarnatable?
Yeah, because Billy is of the opinion that if you come up to Excarnate, Kane will kill you the next turn. And that is just simply not true.
No. At that point, then you're like, alright, Arknode, you're gonna go over here and die conveniently.
Like,
and I'm gonna stand in your, I'm gonna teleport into your wreck marker for the rest of the game.
How does that even work? That doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know, go talk to Billy about it.
Cause like,
he said that to me and I'm like, I don't understand how that's even remotely
true. The entire point of Billy's army is to jam you with a bunch of infantry, so.
Yeah. So if it jams you with a bunch of infantry,
you don't even need Excarnate.
Sure.
I would like to play against
So you have to play, the Bile Thralls really far back against Kane because of Magic Bullet.
Sure.
And you have to protect him with clouds, and you have to make sure that if he is going to Magic Bullet into them, he has to overcommit something, essentially. Because usually it's not going to be off Kane, it's going to be off the Hunters. So if he's going to Magic Bullet into a Bile Thrall, you have to be able to get the Hunter for it, basically. Which is fine.
I'll fit a Bile Thrall for a Hunter.
Well, it's kind of good both ways. Because the Hunters really help in killing Asphyxius.
Yes.
But the Bile Thralls will shit on Kane's entire army. And when we say Kane's army, we're talking about the Keith Christensen, Billy Robin, like, Merc Spam with, like, Boomhauer, Alexia,
yeah,
and, like, 3 or 4 units of infantry in it is what we're talking about.
But the biggest problem with the Excarnate against that list is, at least Billy's list, most of the living targets you're going to be able to get to are Boomhauers.
But then you have the Blood Hag.
But you have the Blood Hag. So who cares?
Right. Hey, I don't forget about that.
My God, it's so awesome.
This list would not be half as bad if the Blood Hag didn't exist.
If the Blood Hag didn't, if the Blood Hag hadn't been released, Excarnate would be far less scary. But it's like, alright, how many Excarnates do you really need to turn the game? Usually one. Just one. Like, maybe if you're, yeah. If you can get a good Excarnate off, you only need to do it once. And that, like, it doesn't necessarily win you the game, but just shifts the momentum so horribly that, like, what are you gonna do about it?
So I know we've talked about this previously on the podcast, and I wanna bring it up again right now, is one of the ways, or basically the way to beat Asphyxius is to out-attrition him so bad that when he feats, you are still ahead.
That he has to feat to try to get back to be even with you,
and he
not
can't.
To actually get ahead.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why Cro-Mac is so good at that is because he runs three heavies, and if any one of those three heavies survives the feat, you're doing great.
And
well, the defense 14 is probably better for surviving the feat than anything else that you
it's
can
true. I mean, for sure. And that's one of the reasons why Cro-Mac is so strong against Egaspi, is because of that. And common misconception is that RFP is super important against Egaspi.
He helps, but
so much stuff that even if you RFP half of it, he doesn't care.
And good players, if you have relevant RFP, will,
they'll kill their own
first
Tartars.
Turn, they'll kill Tartars and they'll kill the Bane Thrall UA.
Yeah. Well, I don't really care so much about the Bane Thrall UA.
I do.
It's really Tartars that I care about. I think it does depend.
Given the choice, Tartars is better, but why not kill both? Like, when I played against Emmanuel in our podcast game and I screwed up and I let him get Hellmouth, I was like, oh crap. And then the next turn I Bile Thralled on both of them to make sure they died so they couldn't get RFP'd.
Yeah.
I was like, we better make sure this happens because if they actually get removed from play, I'm going to be actually not very happy about it.
So, RFP is actually really not that good against Egaspi.
Unless you can scalp out the key pieces. Being
correct. Very specific.
Okay,
pieces.
It's not that it's not good. It's just it's
you're
so
not
hard
get
to get
enough.
It's so hard to actually make use of. That's like
also a common misconception about Shatterstorm. The template does not RFP. Only the direct hit,
which makes it less good.
Yeah. I don't remember the last time I had to face Epic Sorcia or Alcyon. So
everyone forgets Alcyon has that because it never really comes up.
Well, it's like, are you really going to take Alcyon against Epic Lich?
I mean, it's probably Rhett's best chance. Everyone's going to yell at me and say Kalissa, but no.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's a bunch of Powtex. Mage Hunters under his feet have a chance of killing him.
They need 9s to hit.
They need 8s to hit.
They're 6s. He's a 15.
Why is he a 15?
He's a 15-16 because he's
fuck that guy.
Yep.
I mean, you shoot him with a banshee, knock him down, you get it right on in there.
That's true.
But still.
Alright, but anyways.
Why you're shooting him with a banshee, I have no idea how that actually happened.
How did the banshee survive?
I don't know. I mean, it does have admonition, which is one of the power spells against Gatsby. But, this is not why it's one of the power spells against Gatsby.
Alright, so we're on.
Okay, so Signar. So, Kane 2, very good.
P. Haley is pretty much a hard counter to the feet, at least.
To the feet. Has problems just actually sealing the deal, though.
It's true.
Like, everyone talks about how great of a matchup P. Haley is. Like, the problem with P. Haley is that, sure, he can't really feed on you. And that's not even entirely true, by the way. He can't really feed on Haley. He can feed on other things.
Sure, yeah.
And then after that, if he can kill off any threats to himself, and then there's P. Haley, he will just advance towards P. Haley for the rest of the game.
Yeah, like,
because she's not going to be able to kill him.
Really work. And then if you do spend out all your focus, you're just getting killed by X-Grenades.
But not if you don't spend that long your focus.
Yeah. Well, sure. So if you like load up a storm wall, cast out TV, you got one.
No, you're done, man.
Like one with a squire.
Assuming you upkept Arcane Shield.
Sure.
You upkeep Arcane Shield, hand out three, cast TV, you're done.
No. Yeah. If you're handing out, and then you die Haley against like, Gatsby, you're doing it wrong.
Then you just die.
You cast Temporal Barrier every turn and sit on as much focus as you can.
Correct.
Do you upkeep Arcane Shield on Haley?
Actually, that's probably less important. It's probably better to have it on your storm wall or whatever. But
yeah, I guess still, you really just need the focus.
Like, so P. Haley's good. E. Kane's good. E. Haley's not bad, but I wouldn't really try it. And I actually really like things like Stormsmiths against him, because disrupting those arc nodes is really important.
Unless they have a war with Siren.
So if they're playing the Siren, don't do it. And the Stormsmiths just die like bitches to Excarnate.
Yeah, like, that doesn't seem good at all. That's super juicy right. Excarnate targets, and I don't know how you're gonna, like, you're gonna
you definitely want to not play a melee infantry centric army against
striker.
This. No Stormblades.
I can tell you that from
no
striker, my whole matchup from Gen Con.
No Precursor Knights. No Sword Knights.
Yeah.
Trenchers.
Maybe are no. Okay if they're your only unit, because they can't be excarnated. Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll give you a distinct maybe, but you name me a Signar list that has only Precursor Knights in it.
Constance Blaze tier list?
No, because she takes Sword
she
Knights.
She takes lots of Sword Knights. And never play Constance Blaze.
In Signar.
Or in Signar. Sure. Sure, because he's going to be like, 14, let's do this. We can beat 14 with Ector with a Bile Thrall.
She'll get so many souls, though.
And until he throws his little template and takes half of them.
God, why doesn't she have the rule that Zal has in the Testament has?
Sense for her.
Like, I just don't understand. That rule alone would have elevated her, like, at least half a letter grade.
I don't know.
But anyways.
Okay, so she'd go from, like, a D minus to, like, a solid D?
Maybe. I mean,
And when we're talking about lists that are good against Gatsby, we're also talking about lists that are generally good as well in the game. Because you can't just take a list to beat Gatsby, because what if you never hit Gatsby? And you have to play it against something else. Like, there are certain lists that you can specifically tailor to beat Gatsby, kind of like this P. Haley list we're talking about. But that's fine. That will never beat Legion, for example. Like, there are so many of these other lists that it will never actually beat that there's no reason to bring it to a tournament, because if you either never hit Gatsby or you get knocked out before you even hit Gatsby because you have to play it at some point. Like,
here's the thing.
There's no reason to do that.
I cannot see a serious tournament, getting through a serious tournament without seeing Epic Lich. I just don't.
Well, sure. So what if you have to play each list twice and you only see him once?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
I mean, what if the only game you see him in is the finals?
Obviously, you want well-rounded lists more often than not. But if you have to skew in one direction, Epic Lich is a big enough threat to where I don't think it's a horrible mistake.
I feel like Epic Lich is such a varied... he has so many varied threats that building a list to beat him is probably going to turn out to be a fairly well-rounded list anyways.
Kind of.
No, you disagree?
I think you're going to have a lot of support pieces like the Gatorman Witch Doctor built in.
Sure,
that, like, stop Xcarnates, that deal with undead stuff. Like, I think you're just going to have so many of these little tech pieces that are specifically against Egaspi that you're going to be playing 5 or 10 points down.
Okay, maybe.
Against other lists, and that's not good.
Anyway, so Signar. I agree. I think Ekane's best.
Ekane's probably the best, but it's still not great.
Ekane doesn't have heavy targets for him to feed on. He has ways to deal with the Bile Thralls, and he's just always a threat to Gaspy himself.
So. Only with his feet.
Well, okay, assuming you haven't popped your feet, you are always correct. A threat to Egaspi.
If they give you the option, feet, remove Tartarus, remove the Bane Thrall UA.
And then after that, probably
try and get the Blood Hag, and then, So if you do bring RFP against Egaspi, the Bane Knights are what you want to be RFPing. If it's just like general RFP.
Yes.
Because he wants to bring back as many of those as he possibly can.
Generally, he'll bring back.
Because he can get more of them on a caster because they have reach.
Yeah, because he's going to bring back generally Tartarus, the Bane Thrall UA, and then the Blood Hag and 7 Bane Knights.
Correct.
Typically. Like, the Blood Hag won't be there.
There are some exceptions to that where you'll bring back, like, one more Bane Thrall because you want Dark Shroud on something.
If you're splitting,
But.
Or a War with Siren or whatever.
So if you can get him below, like, if you can RFP 5 or 6 or 7 of the Bane Knights, you're doing great. That's a wonderful thing. Boop, 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 boop.
Next faction?
Protectorate.
Hesav?
No. Because trust me.
Hesav dies like a bitch.
That's true, but he also plays like super far back.
Doesn't matter.
Just sit there and toss out.
You need to get
Silver Ball.
My threat range on Egaspi's assassination is 23.
23 inches. Trust me. Like, Mike Prier let me get, Hesav was at the very back. I got Tartarus and a Bane Knight on him because I used the rest of the feet to clear the way and I killed him with Tartarus.
Alright, what then?
He's a 14-14.
Harpy's just generally great against Cricks. The feat stops him for a full round, gives you a second round of shooting.
You definitely
lots of blast damage.
Martyrdom stops Xcarnate cold in its tracks. Excellent.
Martyrdom also stops charges on your caster when he feats.
Correct. Well, no, it doesn't. Blood Hag. But anyways. Really, the key to beating Egaspi with Protectorate is the Battle Engine. No matter what he does, if all of your living models are within 10 inches of the battle engine, he cannot Xcarnate anything, because you miracle it with Doors of Judgment, and he does not get the Bile Thrall. So, he keeps your whole tar pit alive, you just have to keep your entire...
Their two best tar pits are spell immune.
Correct. Zealots and Errants are both spell immune, so excellent there, but if you're playing one of those non-Harby lists against him, make sure all of your supports, all your choir, everything like that is within 10 inches of the battle engine, so that if he Xcarnates it, you're good to go. If you are playing Rupert or any mercenaries that cannot be Doors of Judgment or Martyrdomed, be really, really, really careful with where you put those, because that can instantly lose you the game. If he gets a sweet Bile Thrall Purge off on your Zealots or your Errants, you just lost. Like, I don't care who you're playing, even if it's Harby, because you can martyr them all the first round, and they're all going to die to corrosion again and die again. Like, it's ridiculous. So, don't get purged on through those tricks we just explained. Harvey's really good because her feet stops you for a turn. Pekrios is really good because his feet stops for a turn. And Rovin is paramountly important in this list because
Rovin
lets
and
you shoot
through
the clouds.
Yeah,
and it lets you shoot through stealth.
Yes.
So,
pretty much, if you can, not Tartarus, but even just threatening Asphyxius himself.
Correct.
Because I think what was it Prier that did it to Eric that one time?
He was on no camp and just diced the shit out of him and killed him with a Reckoner.
No, he didn't kill. He didn't even have to do that. Well, that might have been a separate game. But Asphyxius walked up, put some clouds out. The Reckoner's like, I'm going to go ahead because Asphyxius on one focus when he throws out three clouds and he had Hellbound. No, he didn't have.
Well, Eric runs Wither Shadow, so he keeps Hellbound for free.
Well, if you have a Hellbound upkeep, you can't be assaulted.
Correct. Well, you can just get walked up and shot.
Yeah.
Also, Harvey can purify off Hellbound and then you can assault.
Yeah.
Which is a huge
I can't remember what the order was, but pretty much. Rovin was able to give the sight to the Reckoner. The Reckoner walked up, put a lot of damage on Asphyxius. It didn't kill him, but from that point on, Asphyxius has to play really far back because if he ever gets shot with that Reckoner again, he dies. And it's not like he can spin that focus to heal. I mean, he could eat the focus, but at that point, you just either sit on armor. He has to cast clouds. So pretty much, you really decrease the threat of his feet when he has to start so far back. Yeah, you have the 23 inches, but when Asphyxius is having to hide on the other side of the table, either behind a wall or
so an excellent example
in a forest
or
something.
Mike's talking about right now is if you guys watched the Iron Gauntlet finals, it was a Kallus list with triple Ravagor. That forced Keith to play Asphyxius so far back that you noticed he couldn't really Xcarnate anything, so there were no Xcarnates in that list. He couldn't really go up to feet until he had that wreck marker on a hill, which, by the way, as dumb as this sounds, if there's a Bone Jack on a hill in a zone, do not kill it.
Yeah, I mean, plus six armor on Asphyxius is pretty legit.
Like, don't kill it. This is wrong. Just don't do it.
Defense 21 of Asphyxius.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous.
Seems good.
Make him at least kill it himself. Because then that's activations that aren't coming towards you, and yeah. So that's an excellent example of what Mike's talking about right now, of having such a large range threat that can see through those clouds, that it forces them to play back. And Minoth can really do that with Roven and ancillary attacks. Yeah. Because they only need sixes to hit the ancillary after the flare.
Yeah.
So, and it's a dice minus one.
Yeah. And if you're an Asphyxius player, obviously the first, like, Roven's a huge deal. If your opponent is ever dumb enough to let you kill the stupid errant UA banner, which I have never actually been able to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, errants are a huge pain in the ass for Epic Asphyxius.
Especially with Harbinger or Peak Trails.
Yeah.
All
right.
Moving on. So we're already at 40 minutes and we still have like 9 factions to go through.
Okay.
Let's do Kador.
I think Kador loses really hard.
He was just fucked. The best I can think of is Widowmakers to kill the Bile Thralls, but that doesn't work because they don't see through clouds.
Yeah. Maybe East Orsha with Shatterstorm kills some Bane Knights. I don't know.
That's always a theory, but it never works in practice.
You just get purged on.
Fair.
Like, we're gonna have to look to Flanzer here for some crazy tech.
Kator right now just has a really hard time against Epic Asphyxius.
I do like that crazy Flanzer Harkovich list.
All the armor against
what?
Gatsby?
You run like 5 heavies, so it doesn't actually have enough to kill you all, and then you run
Assault Commandos
that are immune to corrosion, so you can't purge on them. And the flamethrowers are quite legit against Krix infantry.
Yeah, I know. It's
so it's like the dumbest list I've ever seen put on a table, yet it actually kind of worked. Also, Black Ivan is surprisingly dodgy at defense 12 and evasive.
Oh, I know. I have definitely missed him
the
with the 6
is,
ones.
I feel like Harkovich just dies like a bitch.
Yeah, he does. I don't know. Unfortunately, I can't think of any really good solutions Kador has right now. I mean, the old witch gives you a stall for one turn, but she is... After that, she just has to run away and hope to God that nothing ever gets on her because she is
and murder,
dies like
murder
a champ.
Murder of Crows is too low pow to really threaten even the Bane Thralls.
I mean, it's a cloud, so you,
sure. So it can block some line of sight, but it can't. Like, you can't hide behind a 4-inch cloud.
Yeah, I mean, she has pieces that could help her, like Augury, so she can ignore clouds. But the highest rat you have is Black Ivan
at 5,
like, and that's not a big threat to Asphyxius.
Correct.
Especially
if you can get in some concealment or something.
I mean, like, maybe...
Actually, I feel like Augury might ignore concealment.
Maybe... I would say Old Witch is probably your best bet. I can't really... Like, I have no experience with her, but it's like... Her feet's really good against him. And she has pieces that are good.
Behemoth.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, you need 11s.
And she has Iron Flesh, which is, in general, good against Banes.
Correct. Correct. It's really bad against Bile Thralls.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that, like... Kador has very limited answers because
I think your best bet's probably to jam so hard with Kayazi they have to purge all over their whole army if they want to kill the Kayazi. But also, to be fair, they can just surround things with Caustic Mist Clouds and you can't get Kayazi
in. Or you just make the Kayazi take a million command checks.
Also true. So no command
mine. Alright, so Flanzer says that he likes P-Vlad.
Oh, for
the gunline blast
list. That's true.
Sure.
He did melt my P-Scar list with a whole bunch of blast templates.
I can see that.
And if you're shooting like the war wagon, if you're shooting that, I mean, you don't shoot that at Bane Knights because that's stupid.
They don't care, but it's bad news for Bane Thralls.
Bane Thralls is really annoying, and also Bane Knights is like, you accidentally kill one, and the rest vengeance, and then kill it, and you're screwed. But, I think Flanders' list, it was P-Vlad with a gun carriage, a Spriggan, and the boat.
Spriggan, Widowmakers.
Yeah, no.
I feel like it may have had a behemoth in it, too.
Yes, it did. It was just a ton of guns, and it melted a whole lot of...
it's a lot of templates that are signs of importance, then it kills a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
that's probably your best bet, but I still don't think that's good.
No, for sure.
I still
not.
Feel like you're going to get excarnated on, and then you just parasite up that battle engine and scoop it up with your Death Ripper or your Cankerworm.
Yeah. I mean,
Cankerworm is...
We know.
I love that guy.
I do too.
Canker Spanks.
My favorite Cankerworm story is when I killed a Repenter with a Bane Knight that walked up, stole its flamethrower, and shot Harbinger to death.
As we all know, Will. We've heard it.
Yes, but these people have not. So it is a new story to them.
And it was against Mike Prier, which made it extra sweet, right?
It's true. He was like, hold on, it does what?
Oh, I know we always cover it. Mike Prier always dies of things he doesn't know what they do.
It's true.
All right, next faction.
Kador is Krix. In the mirror, don't bring any living infantry and bring more Bile Thralls.
Yeah, the Krix list with Bile Thralls beats the Krix list without Bile Thralls every day. The Epic Lich Mirror is like one of the most stupid things ever. I've played that enough times to know the only thing more miserable than that is like the P. Denny mirror, where the P. Denny player that goes first generally wins because they get the feet on the other P. Denny, and then it sucks.
So one of the best things to know about the E. Lich mirror match is if you're losing and you feel like you need defeat to win, and he has Hellbound up, what you can do
is
run something next to the opposing caster, bring back the Blood Hag, have her charge that thing with her horns, and then take the dagger attack to try to knock off Hellbound.
I mean, it's an 8 to knock it off, but if it works, then
if
you win
hits,
the game.
You win the game. Yeah.
The Crit Smear, I mean...
I know there's also a lot of silly things that Tom Guan was doing with Helldivers, where you can, like, slam it over Gatsby and then charge with the horns and hit him with the dagger. And that was good. So.
I don't know. I mean, in the Crick's Mirror, Epic Lich is always good against himself because his feet, unless you're stupid, will not be able to kill himself, which is...
Maybe you forget to upkeep Hellbound, Mike.
I don't know how that is even close
and then,
to possible.
Let me tell you how dumb the Bane Knight Caustic Mist Circle Jerk is. Nobody can ever get to the other person because Caustic Mist just shuts out the whole board.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It's a horrible, miserable grind. All right,
let's not talk about it. Mercs, what does Mercs do?
They
die like bitches.
I honestly can't think of anything that Mercs is going
to
be.
Maybe we can get some Hacksaw help here. We'll get back to you with a Hacksaw recommendation, but I don't foresee it going well for Mercs. Any caster.
Like, I honestly cannot think of...
Ashlyn's probably your best simply
Constance
because...
Blaze. No.
Definitely not Constance Blaze. Probably Ashlyn because she's based F 17, so she's really hard to hit on the feet turn, and your entire army's gonna instantly die. No matter what you take, so it doesn't really matter.
Alright.
Yeah, roulette doesn't matter when you're getting auto hit.
Rhett.
Yeah. Rhett. Ossian's your best bet, is what I found, because he has the least amount of warjacks to get blown up by the feet, and you have the most amount of stuff that can actually kill his infantry, and you have Shatterstorm.
Shatterstorm is mildly relevant, as
you just Solus Escorts are really good against
Solus Escorts are very good at stopping Excarnate.
It is ridiculous, because everyone always, forgets Solus Escorts, but they just...
In the heat of the moment, it's a very simple thing to mess up.
Because you want to protect your Arknode, so you don't want to get it that close. You're like, alright, I'm going to get 8 inches from that thing. It's
but
like,
for some reason...
I feel like if Red was a very highly played faction,
10.
Solus
Escorts. Oh, it is. I always forget that. Yeah, Parasite is 8. I'm sorry.
If Red were more widely played, Solus Escorts would be a lot worse.
It's true. It's true.
Worse as in harder.
Worse as in people would be more aware and cognizant of them.
Yeah.
So people will tell you that Kalissa works here. It doesn't. Like, sure,
no,
her feet will buy you a turn, maybe. But whatever.
Shoot him,
and that's fine.
Steal some focus.
And he doesn't care. You're pout 10.
No, but.
And you get that sweet arcane bolt that everyone always tells me kills everything. That doesn't work.
Will, but you steal the focus so he's lower armor.
No.
And then you use it to boost damage on him.
No, see, this is my, you know what my defense is against that? Is spending my focus every turn. So then you get one shot at dice minus 6 if you hit.
No, you still get to buy all your attacks.
Well, sure.
No,
okay, yes, but you aren't.
So I mean, fine. If you walk up Gatsby within walking distance of Kalissa, you deserve whatever happens to you. But it's probably not ever gonna actually work out.
I would agree with that.
Why would Gatsby get anywhere near Kalissa? I mean, just walk up, Excarnate something, kill her entire army because she's playing red, and then teleport away.
But you can shoot him 3 times.
Nick, I realize this.
Steal the focus.
Nick, if he doesn't have any focus, you can't steal any focus. And you got to boost a hit, and you got to boost a damage. You don't have enough focus. Doesn't work.
Yeah, if you're not stealing any focus, it's not working.
I don't think it works even if you do steal the focus.
And you leave him with like 3 hit points, and then maybe you're out of your ass arcane bolt works.
No, if you're buying it for your attacks, you don't have anything left for the arcane bolt.
I don't know. All right. Anyway, so Ossian for Rhett is probably your best bet.
For sure. For sure.
What about Ron?
Ron's okay.
Don't try to assassinate Epixvicius. That's the dumbest waste of.
I mean, you have 2 heavies. You have some mediocre shooting if you took Invictors. Like, you don't really want to be shooting Invictors at Bane Knights.
That's
like it's just like way overkill.
Okay. just as a side note, always put Polarity Shield on Ron. It has no business being on anything else
against Gatsby. Yes.
Against Epixvicius. Yeah, like maybe for like. Up until turn 2, you can put it on whatever unit's out there, but after that, you should probably have it on Ron the rest of the game. I have seen Ron players get killed by his feet. It's like,
and don't get juked by the Warwitch Siren charging something next to you and stabbing it off.
Yeah.
You mean the Blood Hag.
The Blood Hag, sorry.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if you have Polarity Shield against Epic Asphyxius, as soon as like
I should always
turn
be on
three
your caster.
Happens, you should probably have it on your caster.
Yes. Or be playing so far back that it is irrelevant.
Exactly.
And the but, second it becomes relevant, it should be on your caster immediately.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all the War Machine factions. Now into the Hordes.
We didn't talk about Convergence.
Okay, what does Convergence do?
I really like the Aurora tier list. It was actually what I designed my list specifically to do. So, if you remember last podcast, I went through the list. It shoots through clouds so it can kill both Gorman and Tartarus.
Yep.
And I think the Angels can out-attrition it. There's no living targets to excarnate, and you can easily shoot down the Biothralls. Reflex Servitors are awesome against Banes.
I think the Father Lucan gunline can do fine as if you have the double Cypher.
That's Cintherian.
I mean, Cintherian
yes,
can do it.
I think Cintherian is okay. I'd rather not bring five heavies against
that. That is,
especially
true.
10-19 heavies, as we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
But, so, I mean, though Reconstruct is very good. Another point we talked about this one earlier in this podcast is Admonition is super good against Asphyxius, because it basically functions as Polarity Shield would. Whatever it's on, Asphyxius has a real hard time feeding on.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're far enough back. Like, yeah. That he can just barely get to you. You can just walk out of range, or you can walk behind stuff. Like, Admonition, so, Ossian has that,
Aurora.
Aurora has that. Like, those are two, that's a very, very, very good spell to have against Asphyxius.
Yeah. Alright.
Yep.
So, now to the Hordes.
Do you want to start with the one that has the best matchup? Well, I guess there's two, I'd say two.
Chromak's pretty good against him.
Chromak's good against Chris in general.
He can really just kill everything in his army without really losing anything.
I feel like at worst you're gonna lose some Wold Shrimp and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, when I mean anything of importance. So like, the Wold Stalkers can go die, I don't really care. The Stones can go die, I don't really care. Swamp Gobbers are like the world's best thing against Asphyxius because they can block charge lanes with the Smoke Clouds. Interesting enough, it's usually better to make a smaller Smoke
yes,
Cloud than a bigger
Smoke
Cloud.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want the 5-inch one. You may want only the 3-inch one because...
Whatever you can get it completely outside of the smoke.
Correct.
Cloud. You don't want someone towing in.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
And you don't want Asphyxius to charge up and then pop his feet, put them all inside the smoke cloud and just charge you anyway.
Exactly.
So the small smoke cloud can be better.
Bestial shuts down the arc nodes.
Bestial shuts down the arc nodes for
and
the excarnates. There's also no living models, or very few living models
swamp
in my, yeah, but they're at F19.
Sure. And they're in Bestial.
And they're within 3 inches of Chromak normally, so they're good to go. It's very important that with Chromak you keep your beasts very close to Chromak so that he can't parasite them and things like that.
You have to keep your Shifting Stones alive to threaten
Asphyxius. You need at least one unit alive to threaten Asphyxius, which is usually going to be the stealth unit. So you kind of do the opposite of what you normally do. You're going to put forward the not-stealth unit because he doesn't really have any shooting anyway.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep the stealth unit back so that he can't get excarnates and things like that. And you have to watch out how far you spread them, because if he's running arc nodes, that PAL 13, because why not, it's PAL 13, excarnate can really kill a stone. the non-stealth unit of Shifting Stones can kind of bunker up in front of your war beasts, because most of his infantry doesn't have reach. The only ones that have reach are the Bane Knights. So he has to kill them before he can get to your beasts. Then, yeah. It doesn't quite so work so well against the feet, because Tartarus will come in and thresher them all.
Yeah.
But, it at least makes him do that. So.
There's also a shout-out for... I know I always dog on him, but, like, the Krugers... Like, Epic Kruger can be okay. I don't think he's that good against Krix, because he's just a mild inconvenience. Prime Kruger, I think, has a place, because he has so much infantry clearing. But
yeah,
he's not as good as a Chromak.
I feel like Chromak,
I take Chromak
is so good
hands
that there's
down.
Really no reason to
yeah,
do
yeah.
anything else.
And really, Bestial is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Because at Bestial and Wild Aggression. Because a Wild Aggression Primal War Beast will just kill the shit out of Gaspy if it gets to him ever. And with Bestial, he cannot come up and do all these combat tricks we were talking about and then teleport away. So it's very applicable. Very, very applicable. The Krugers are okay. Druids are okay. That's where that Defiler really comes in, is it can walk 7
yeah.
and then spray 8 and kill the Druid leader. It needs a 9.
Yeah, I never really worry that much about Druids, because the Circle players at Asgard don't run Druids, because it's you and Colin.
It's because Druids aren't very good.
Well, that's a conversation for a previous podcast and many more about you arguing about them.
Yeah, they're just not that great.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Circle.
Play Chromak. You can play the Krugers. Morfana 1 is not terrible, but kind of comical, as he purges away an entire unit and just regrow it every turn.
Yeah, that's fine.
comedy gold. Right,
he gets their souls every single time, so yep. I'm okay with it.
Unless you make him undead with the Gator Man.
Well, now you can do that.
All right. What about Legion? I feel like anything with Ravagors.
Yeah, the more Ravagors, the better. Elilith is good.
Saren is still obnoxious.
Saren is still pretty solid.
God, I hate Saren.
Basically, any of the superpower attrition Legion casters can really get it done.
Epic Lilith is very scary for him.
And Evale is kind of an issue because she can just kill the shit out of him.
Yeah.
At a lot of random times.
Double Oblit, two Ravagors.
Yeah.
Purification.
Yeah, and you have Purification to get rid of Hellbound if you need to. Like, Evale seems an issue, Elilith seems an issue. And then anybody with two or more Ravagors can very quickly become a problem for Gaspy.
Ravagors,
so
in general,
as the Gaspy player, you have to play much farther back against those lists. And to be fair, Legion kind of has a problem with Crix in general. Like, the Crix infantry, they don't really have a good way to deal with a lot of it.
I mean, you can try and funnel them with Ravagor Scathe.
Saren's your best bet.
With Lightbringer.
At actually dealing with the infantry, Saren's your best bet. I think Elilith's probably your best bet against Gaspy, because you can just kill him from so far away.
Sure.
Yep.
And that's my vote.
All right. The Scorn time.
Scorn time. Nick?
Epic
Hex. It's about your only vote.
I don't know. There are people who like Zol against him. I don't understand that.
I feel like P-Hexers.
He runs it. Okay. Yeah, okay. P-Hexers is just like P-Haley. He will absolutely shit all over E-Gaspy and just RFP his entire army on the feet. If you're playing time turns, you're going to run out of time halfway through. And that list just isn't going to be very good against anything else.
I mean, it's good against Crix in general.
Yeah, but I think Nick's trying to say that it doesn't have the swath of matchups.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's no E-Hex.
Not to mention, if you, like, walk up to feet, and then, like, things just don't go your way for whatever reason,
you instantly die.
Oh, yeah. E-Hex definitely dies.
But Banes fucking love killing other Banes.
It's true.
Yeah, that is...
Six a hit, auto-kill.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's gotta snipe out that banner.
Yep.
You gotta snipe out that banner.
Yeah.
I feel like the blood hag should be all models, not just enemy models.
Nah.
Well, you can just run them on opposite sides of the board.
Sure.
We could do that.
It affects how they have to play.
So something we actually haven't talked about at all, which I just thought about, because I don't know how we missed this, but having a large volume of magic attacks is very important.
Oh yeah,
for blood because hag. Killing the blood witches on their mini feet turn really neuters that unit.
For sure.
Because being able to actually,
because normally what happens is the blood hags charge run, pop their many feet, and the blood hag just runs into like some ass-holy place. Then you excarnate the bile thralls, walk through the blood witches, or they just purge on them instead. Like sweet, they're incorporeal, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
yay!
It's really lame.
It's awesome. Oh my god, it's so good.
So having a way to kill the blood witches, very important.
EX for Scorn. I don't really like anybody else in Scorn. P. Makeda maybe.
P-Makeda because...
I feel like you're going to get pushed off scenario zones too quickly.
That's probably true.
P-Makeda would be good because Savagery, Mollet, Karn can kind of get into weird places and hopefully just... It would be the same thing as, like, Cro-Mac, I think, the way the Stalkers and Getorix run in and just
weed that
stuff and run away. Yeah. But then scenario, like...
But you only have one and I have three.
That's true.
Is the difference
there. I mean,
there.
You can bounce Savagery around, but it's not as good because...
Well, and you only have one Reach Beast and...
Well, I mean, you can take, like, a sentry and do it on a sentry, but that's less good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who else? Trolls? P-Gristle.
Specifically Chad's P-Gristle list.
I'm probably a little salty about that because I got my shit pushed in twice.
It was specifically designed to beat E-Gaspy.
Keith's E-Gaspy.
And
so it's really good.
And, I mean... I don't know. And I've talked with Chad about this, and I think he would agree that it's not great, but it's probably better than everything else. And basically the backbone of the list is Long Riders with the Lightning Troll Animus on them.
Yes. And Calamity.
And
Calamity.
That's actually less important.
Going
from needing sevens to kill Bane Knights on the damage rolls versus five.
With Electro League.
Sure.
I would also say the big thing is knowing how to use her Fel Calls correctly is a huge part of it. Knowing when to yell for extra attack versus Hoof It.
I feel like in most cases Hoof It is important.
I feel like the no continuous effects from the stone is also incredibly relevant. Because one, Bile Thralls might not crack armor, and if they do, and you tough it, then you're not corroded the next turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
The other caster I could maybe see having a place is Jarl.
Is that magic bullet we talked about?
Exactly.
I feel like Jarl,
I don't feel he's an amazing matchup though. Because his army doesn't make use of and he does not use make use of magic bullet as well as like Kane does.
Sure,
but I think it could work.
I've always felt like Jarl is not as good on the table as he seems on paper.
Absolutely, that's the case.
He can do so much stuff, but he doesn't actually have enough fury to do all the stuff that he wants to do.
Needs to be rat 8, rat 7, not sufficient.
Yep, I'll agree with that assessment for sure.
Minions, so.
You're dead.
Yeah, you just die. Sorry, guys. You don't have the answers.
I don't know, maybe.
Rask, maybe?
No.
I don't know how that.
No, when you parasite a unit of gators and purge on it, they all die.
That's true.
I was thinking more like his feet to try and deliver something, but he's like, I delivered them into you and they die. It's like, oh well.
Yeah. Let me tell you what Danes fucking love. It's gator men. Especially Tartarus, who's like, can I have 5 more? Can I?
Yay! I think the only thing they like more seeing more than that is like Man of War Demo Core.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, if you parasite a unit of gators and then charge it with Terminus.
Tartarus.
After purging on it once, you might kill all 5 of them.
Hopefully they're not dumb enough to give you all 5 of them.
Yeah. No.
Dice minus 1. One.
Weapon Master.
No, it's dice plus 1.
No, it's not.
They go from 16 to 13 to 15.
No, they go from 18 to 13. Okay, yes, minus 1.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
He probably kills them.
He probably kills like 3 or 4. Which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
Sure, and then those 3 or 4 Banes kill 3 or 4 more Gatormen. Sure. So Tartarus kills 8 Gatormen a turn.
Oh, that's the other thing.
And then Bogtrogs are just gonna, those things are command 8. Jesus.
Here's the thing. Whenever you feat and bring back Tartarus, he definitely still does add more Banes to units that you have around. So if you can set it up, like, alright, Bane Thralls or Bane Knights who are still alive, bring back Tartarus. Oh look, I made more Banes because I ran in and threshered some stuff. It's like, ugh, that's kind of annoying. And then you're just like, God, this guy has so many layers. He's just such an asshole to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But what other? Is that it?
I think that's all the factions.
Yeah. So in general, Epicus Vixius, you're going to see him at any serious tournament you go to. Yep. You'll definitely see him on...
Have a plan, know what the plan is, and play test it.
Yeah.
If you want to actually beat Epic Asphyxius.
Yeah. It's not fun, but...
Yeah, you won't enjoy play testing it, because it's balls difficult. But it is important for winning tournaments.
You will see him...
This is going to tie into our topic for next time.
Yeah. You will see him in Masters every time. I cannot remember the last time I saw a Master Shields without an Epic Asphyxius.
All right.
At least an American Masters. I don't know about those crazy UK guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're busy putting Erebus in the Terminus and shit.
They probably have Erebus in their Gatsby lists.
That's cool, dude. We got 11 points.
That's true.
Oh my god.
We can almost fit in a Death Jack.
My Death Jack was 11 points.
He's 12.
Yeah, seems more reasonable than 11.
If he was 11, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, then you'd be like the Avatar, which is only Matt 10, Pow 27.
I also thought the Behemoth was 11 points. That could be like
13.
Yeah, he was 13.
Thing probably should be 11.
No.
Yeah.
12.
He's 12. Speed 4, Matt 6.
He has 36 boxes.
He is Speed 4, Matt 6.
I understand, Will.
Speed 4, Matt 6.
11 points would probably be too cheap.
Speed 4.
Yeah.
Matt 6.
What's that again?
It's Speed 4.
Okay.
And Matt 6.
I feel like this loses a lot if they can't see the hand signals.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
I'm putting a 4 up on my right hand, and then a 6 on both of my hands.
Well, it's really a 5 on the left hand and a 1 on the right hand.
All right, enough. So,
Speed 4, Matt 6.
Yeah. All right.
That dude should not be 13 points. I don't give a shit about any of the rest of them.
All right. On to questions.
Yep.
Hold on, Nick.
What?
I just noticed something ridiculous.
What's that?
Mike has armpit hair.
I just noticed that too.
How is that ridiculous?
That's why
because your entire body is hairless except for your armpits.
Well, that's clearly not true.
That's why I did a double take. I was like, wait, what?
You're both idiots. All right, so I think
breaking news.
What?
Chili has armpit hair.
This should probably be cut, but it won't be.
No, it won't.
Because it's just stupid. But anyways, so I think we're on to questions now.
Yeah, we're on to questions. All right, first question, we're going to jump right in. It's from Nicholas. He wants to know, is Anastasia Debray worth 2 points in mini lists?
Mini lists? No.
Some lists?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Mostly for lists that really want to go first, and E-Haley.
E-Haley is awesome because she will get espionage off.
She will get
more
there.
Consistently than anyone else.
I feel like the thing with Anastasia Debray is, if you're playing somebody who lets you get espionage off, you should be beating them anyway.
Keith, that's how he killed Watt, was with espionage.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, when you have Epicale, like, you're time-walking them already once with the feet, so in theory you could get her there. I mean, I understand it's very difficult.
Epicale is probably an exception to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ehaley uses her probably the best of anyone.
I would say most of the time you're taking her because you want the plus one to go first.
Correct.
Like, espionage is not reliable enough, so if you were to take someone like Constance Blaze, I think then you would take her, because if Constance Blaze goes second, it sucks. But, yeah. In general, I mean, there are a select few lists that I think you could take her.
I feel like if you're playing Constance Blaze, it sucks regardless of whether or not you go first. Like, it's worse if you go second.
Yeah.
But it sucks either way.
We're going to get in so much trouble for this episode. I say this every episode, but somebody's going to come out and be like, Constant Blaze is the reason I started playing this game, and it's amazing, and I hate you, Nicholas Priest.
That model is kind of sweet.
I love Constance Blaze.
Her art, everything about it is fucking awesome, except for her head, which is tiny.
Yeah.
Why is she have such a small head?
I feel like Constance Blaze was so close to being amazing.
Yeah, and then they're like, wait, she could be a Merc caster. We have to, make sure she's not too out of control. Like, what?
They should do that again so the internet will explode again.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
All right. So anyways, next question.
All right. So the next question is from John O. Spencer from Twitter. He wants to know, how much practice do you need with a list before you make changes to it?
I would suggest playing at least 5 games with it against different things. Mm-hmm. Never play, like, 5 times against a Gatsby. Unless you're specifically tweaking for a Gatsby. Don't do that.
Yeah. Like, you need to know, like, yeah, obviously the strengths and weaknesses overall, but it's like, it doesn't have certain, matchups that it really doesn't want to see, because like, what happens if you're like, I'm gonna take this, like for me, this Nemo 3 list when I first got back from, whenever he was released, and I played against Nyx's Xerxes list, like 2 games in a row, and wanted to just go kill myself. It was just this invisible shit grind.
Just because, like, a list has a bad matchup does not mean you can't play it.
Exactly.
That game was awesome.
Shut the fuck up. Does not mean that by any means.
Yeah.
What you don't want is to have a bad matchup against Legion, Signar, and Minoth.
Okay, yeah, that's for sure. Like, if you are having bad matchups against the most prevalent factions, then you have to make changes. That's, or else you're just guaranteeing to lose.
Correct.
But 5 games is probably reasonable.
At least 5.
Yeah.
I feel like you could very well play more before changing.
And it really depends on how big of changes you're talking about. If it's like, you're swapping out a couple pieces, that's fine, but if you're like, no, time to change the whole battle group or something, like, yeah, you probably need to take more time to practice it.
And there's also nothing wrong with changing it, playing that, and being like, well, is this better? I don't know. And then going back to your old one if it's not.
Yep.
Because I've definitely done that before many times.
For
like,
sure.
With my Lucan list, I had this crazy angel idea. Probably not going to do it.
Yeah.
Sticking with reciprocators.
All right. Sweet.
Yep.
All right. Chris Jacobs, let's do this quick. This feels like it's a rapid-fire question. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
All right. Favorite Dark Horse caster by faction?
By faction?
Just do your own faction.
Sloan.
Sloan?
Wait, that wasn't my faction.
Whatever. Good enough.
I'm going with Sloan.
Mike.
Well, right now I'm playing Signar, so I'll say Kray.
No. That's not your favorite Dark Horse caster. That's your favorite caster.
Yeah, I feel like which Coven is your favorite Dark Horse
caster? Which Coven is my favorite Dark Horse right now?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Emorgul.
The more I think about Emorgul, the more I like that guy, by the way.
He, like, I don't know. Like, Emorgul, like, if you don't have purification, Emorgul with Safeguard and 5 Fury running at you is terrifying.
That's true. Well, I will. No.
Does he have Sprint still?
No, but he has an Archidon.
Aha!
So essentially, yeah.
Yes!
Nice. I thought, doesn't P-Morgul have Sprint?
Yes.
P-Morgul does, yeah.
How the hell did he forget how to
take
do that anymore?
Take that, Reptile Hounds.
Oh my god. I saw those the other day.
Assholes.
They finally got released. Those models look dumb as hell.
Yeah.
They're
for them, fucking sweet models.
Yeah.
Retarded
they are like,
things.
They are squigs that got, like,
Sprint,
compressed.
Sprint is the end of your activation, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think it's after the interview.
Well, whatever. So you can't do any, like, cute, like, sprint and then
flashing.
It's
no refuge.
Yeah, no, it's not
refuge. It's no refuge.
But yeah.
Oh, they should have given him refuge. He would be so amazing
refuge. I feel like that was a mistake with refuge. Like, being able to cast repulsion afterwards.
Yeah, it's probably
true.
Yeah,
it's...
Whoops.
But yeah.
Oh, well.
Those are all our dark horses. God, Witch Coven's so fun.
I love Slam.
Let's see. All right, so next
she's
up.
She's probably
now,
my favorite bad caster.
You have so many questions.
I know.
Well, let's do it. Rapid fire this shit. All
right. Merlin from Twitter says, from Colossals, 2 casters haven't been making a splash, Nemo 3 and Gatsby 3. What do you think of them and what are their lists? Gatsby 3 is amazing. Nemo 3, balls.
I'll agree with that.
Will and I were having a discussion the other day. Some of the 3-level casters are casters that were released in that cycle of books. seem to have been designed with things like Unbound and higher point levels in mind, Nemo 3 being a perfect example. If you're playing like 100 points, multiple caster with E-Nemo, his feat is can go just bananas.
It's true.
And his focus efficiency, when you have like an extra 20 or 30 points of just Jax, when you can get Finch in there and just start doubling up your focus, that's amazing. At 50 points in most tournament settings, he's not very good.
You just can't take enough stuff to use all of his rules, basically, I think is the problem with Nemo 3 in 50-point games.
Yeah.
Whereas Gatsby 3, Eric has a really mean
Gatsby 3 is yet another ridiculously jammy caster.
Oh my god, I love it.
He's close to the jammy level of P-Scar, with an Asphyxia standing behind him instead of a Scar standing behind him.
Ashen-veiled Satixus Raiders standing amongst Boom Howlers who are yelling Rage Howlers at your opponent's Warbeast and Warjax, or mainly Warbeast, is hilarious. Yeah. They become effective defense 18, so they're like, alright, come in here and try and kill these things.
It's a very strange infantry jam list that runs Bloodgorgers and Boom Howlers and Satixus and Black Banes and a unit of Bane Knights. Or Bane Thralls.
And like an Arcanoid.
And then like an Arcanoid. Yeah. You could play Cankerworm.
Yeah. I mean,
like, the list is good. I don't think it's amazing. I don't think it's really going to beat out any of the other.
I can really push people off of scenarios.
Yeah. Well, sure, but I mean, I don't think it beats Terminus. Like, I'd rather have Terminus. I'd rather have P-Scar.
I feel like Gatsby is maybe harder to kill than Terminus.
That you're a goddamn idiot.
That's what just gave Nick the squinty.
He has one turn of, I would say Gatsby after his feet turn is probably more survivable than Terminus.
After his feet turn?
No.
All right.
Depending.
Can we just talk about Sack Pawn for a moment?
Yeah, I forgot.
I mean, what the fuck, Nick?
Somebody's been telling me to stop talking before.
Get in there, Muffin Man.
I don't know. Gatsby 3 I really like.
I think he's good. I just don't know if he beats the other power Crix casters.
In a two-list format, you're probably not going to see him. In three-list, I think he has a very viable spot.
But once again, like, so you're going to take two retardedly jammy lists? So you can take, like, Terminus?
No, you don't
Gatsby 3, Gatsby 2?
You take Pete any. Gatsby 3 and Gatsby 2.
But then why wouldn't you just take Terminus?
Because I personally don't like Terminus that much anymore. I loved him, but I think he has some issues right now.
Well, sure, fine. Okay, so he's okay as a third list. I don't think he's ever going to make it into two.
I took at TempleCon, and leading up to TempleCon this year, and then a little bit afterward, I was running like the Gatsby 3 like super jam with like 9 brute thralls and all that other stuff. And you played against it, and you were like, and it was really jammy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Gatsby 3 has a place. I think I said it before when we first reviewed him. I think mobility is a trap. I don't like that spell at all.
I honestly completely forgot he had that.
Jack
yeah.
So once again, mobility is one of those spells that was designed for large battle groups, which is not going to happen in Crix probably ever. And if it does, it's going to be at those very high point levels.
Yeah.
So like the three level casters seem to have designed. I don't know if that's a sentence, but seem to have been designed.
Yeah.
There we go. For higher Unbound. Point level games. And some of them managed to work out at low point levels, like Gatsby 3, like Virus 2, that kind of stuff. And then the other ones you just won't see until you play 100 plus points.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Real Scene, also from Twitter. He wants to know, the Stormblade Captain, does he make Lattermore worth the price of entry?
No, but she...
I'm sorry, what was the question?
He might.
Stormblade Captain make Lattermore worth taking?
Might make her worth
basically,
it.
Basically, she gets Pathfinder.
No, he might make her worth it because he might make Stormlances worth it. It's not her by herself, but it's the fact that you might want to take her with Stormlances. When I saw him released, I picked him up, I assembled him, and with E-Striker, I don't hate him.
That model is sweet, except the face looks super derpy.
Yeah. I think, alright, so just to recap, I think if you're just taking a whole bunch of Storm Knights, including Blades, Guard, and Lances, she'll find her way in just because she won them with Storm Lances. But there's no reason just to take her by herself ever anyways.
It's true.
Alright, boom, moving on. Alright, so the next question is from Brandon. And I'm sorry, Brandon, but we're not answering your question. But that's only because it's such a good question that we're going to do a full episode on it next week.
Oh, this is the one that...
Yeah, so he asked what separates the people in a tournament who are in the 0-4 bracket, the 1-3 bracket, the 2-2 bracket, and so on and so forth. What skills do you need to master or at least become proficient with to move, you know, to those different placing brackets on a consistent basis? So that's what our next episode is going to be about. So you're going to have to wait for that. Sorry about that, Brandon.
Yeah. It's, in my opinion, just briefly, it's endurance and patience. We can explore that more later.
And knowledge.
Well, yes.
So
but everyone's going to have
the
knowledge.
The next two questions are from David
at the high level, or they should.
The next two questions are from David and Matthew. David is asking, does Rhett have a spot on the competitive table? And then Matthew wants to know, what two Rhett casters would you bring? So we're just going to do those together.
All right, well, this is yours.
Pretty sure Ossian's one of them.
Yeah, Ossian's definitely one. And I like Virus too, personally. And
do you think they have a spot on the competitive table, or is it best to leave them?
Can you bring them? Sure. Are you going to win a tournament? Probably not. I think you're lacking consistency, and you're lacking some very key matchups.
It's severe matchup issues.
Like Krix, like Circle, like Legion. All of those are big problems for all of those lists.
Oh, I mean,
and I don't think there really is an answer in Rhett to those at the moment.
But if you had to take two, it would be Ossian and Ron.
Ossian and Virus 2. Or Ron. I like Ron as well. If I had to take three, it would be Ron. It would be those three for sure. Okay. Ossian for sure, and then one of the other two for two.
Okay.
All right, finally, we have one more from Twitter, and I think like one in the email. All right, so Greg W. Wants us to know, what 6 points should he add to his Nemo 2 theme force?
This is Gregle from the store.
Is this Gregle?
I don't even know.
All right, well, Nemo 2, Stormwall, Thunderhead, Centurion Jr., and 5 Stormcallers.
Obviously tier. 2 Storm Towers. Done.
Easy peasy.
God, that's dumb. Sure, why not?
Especially if he has to buy them from.
I was referring to Will, not Greg.
I feel like dropping 3 Stormsmiths and adding a Stormstrider.
I like the Stormsmiths with them because they're Power 12. So that's actually really, really, really good.
And they go to command skill, command check 9.
Is good too.
I don't like the Storm Strider. I freaking think that thing
sucks. I'm obviously dumb this episode and have no valid opinions.
I mean, fact. But, Greg, honestly, I have no idea. We can sit down and talk about it.
Come to the store on Thursday.
This isn't releasing till next Wednesday.
Well,
come to the store next Thursday. This Thursday, which will be the day after today. In a week.
No, today is Tuesday.
When it releases in a week, it'll be the day after today, which will be a Wednesday, when it releases, so Thursday.
Oh, okay. That was stupid.
Yeah.
I feel like I should mention John Gallagher from Twitter as well. He wants to know why I'm such a baller, which I'm pretty sure is a troll question, so I'm not actually going to answer it. But if you guys want to take a crack at it.
Nope.
Oh, well, Nick is such a baller because he rolls deep, and I don't know where I'm going with this.
That was stupid, and I'm sad that I heard it.
Tom Tom, fine punchable hookers. I don't know why that just reminds me of that.
Oh, man. All right, so just to clear things up, Scott Ray, there's like a 99% chance that he did not strike anyone at Lock and Load. I mean, yeah.
So I mean, the thread on the Muse on Minis forums is pretty much 100% correct. If he actually hit one of the strippers, there's no way he made it out of that strip club in one piece.
Yeah. So just so everyone
Scott
knows.
Scott Ray's name is clear, but... Tom does need to find punchable hookers.
It was just a joke. So no one actually go up to Scott Ray and tell and like...
Be like, you hit a stripper! Yeah. No, he didn't actually do that. Hopefully. Anyway.
I mean,
the chances of that happening and him making it out of that club, very small.
In a world of infinite possibilities, I don't think we can say there's like no chance he did it. But it's just very,
I feel like
he'd
probably make it out
chance.
Alive, but not
sure,
unscathed.
Not unscathed. Yeah. And he had no bruises or anything, so...
Alright, so one more question from Justin. So he says that he's the only Signar player who plays competitively in his meta, and that everybody in his meta thinks that E. Haley is the worst, most awful caster ever, and that anybody not ranking her number one is committing a mortal sin. And
tell him to come to Asgard, and I'll play some E. Gatsby against him, and then we'll do this.
All right, so he wants us to do top 10 caster in the game rankings. Do we want to do that now?
Oh, that's really hard, especially if it's in order. Like, no. We're not going to do it in order, but top 10 in the game, just spitballing.
Epic Lich.
Elitch. Cromac. Haley.
Harvey,
Harbinger.
Morvana.
We're Morvana 2, by the way.
Morvana 2, yes. If purification wasn't a thing, Morvana 1, but it is. E. Kane.
P. Denny. I would say Epic Lilith still is up there.
Evail.
Top 10
Saren.
In the game.
Saren.
Saren. I'll give you Saren.
Do we already get Evail?
No.
You don't think Evail's top?
Not in that caliber, no. I just blew Mike's mind, I think.
Wow, yeah. That just did blow my mind. Holy shit.
There's this really funny interaction with Bestial and Evail. Bestial only stops enemy models from channeling, so when you peg them with an Oraculus,
If you peg one of those shifting stones, you can still channel.
Yeah, no, I know. We figured that out.
Anyways, who else?
Sev, maybe? Krios?
Krios 1.
Not Sev.
Krios 1.
Krios 1 for sure. I'm holding up my fingers like I'm going to be able to recite these again.
Who do you want to pop from this list next?
You done stumped us.
Yeah. No, there's at least one more good one.
There's one that we're just forgetting.
I'm sure we just forgot about something.
Someone's like yelling in their computer right now.
Hmm.
We did say Kaylee too, correct?
Yes, yeah, we absolutely did.
I think she was the second one we said. Okay.
God.
This is gonna bug us.
Yeah.
All of us.
God. This isn't even fun listening anymore.
Yeah, no, exactly. We'll figure it out.
Staring at a picture of a gator. Not a gator Rask. Man. Like a gator. No.
I feel like Rask in a different faction. How does might be on Rask?
Well, sure, but then so is like Shay and
so is
every gator caster.
So is Arcadius.
And every pig caster.
If Arcadius is in like a faction with
and by the way, when we say these are our top 10, we're not talking about just the caster. We're talking about the caster inside of their faction with the army they can bring. Which is how we always rank casters.
That is how this argument should be framed. Because it doesn't matter in a vacuum because you don't play games in vacuums.
Yeah.
Like,
otherwise Shay would just always win everything. Because that dude's invincible. But
I feel like either Evale or Lilith 2 gets the last slot.
I don't know how you cannot put Evale.
Okay, fine.
Evale. I'd say Evale.
Okay. Evale. Maybe Peavale.
So who got two? Minoth got two, Circle got two, Krix got two, Legion got two.
Scorn got zero.
Gator got zero. Trolls got zero.
That's only four factions, so there's nine more that got zero.
Yeah.
And we're missing two still from our list. I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
Anyways, that probably puts us at those are the best four factions.
So yeah. Ehaley, I don't think we would say is the top.
No, she's definitely not number one.
But she is certainly powerful.
She's certainly top five.
She's like tier 1.25.
I mean, she's in the top five in the game, for sure. But I think there is a rather large jump
between her and
say, Epic Asphyxius, or even Harbinger.
Yeah. Alright, so that's it for questions.
Sweet.
So we get some pie.
No.
Now we still have a couple
news and then what we're
doing. Damn it!
So first news and announcements.
I don't know what's about pie.
I think the only news is, Sam from Feast of Blades asked us to, do another shout out for
Feast of Blades is a thing.
Convention. No, it's a, 40K War Machine convention.
It's in Colorado.
In Denver, Colorado, October 11th through 13th.
Which coincides with the Great American Beer Festival.
It sounds like it's gonna be sweet. You guys should check it out if you're, inclined to travel. Or if you live in the area.
Yep. What else?
It's a big 40K tournament, I know, too.
Also, for you, 40K guys. Shouldn't be held against it.
No, I was saying that as a plus. Asshole.
Whoa.
God. I was like, if you're into 40K and you listen to this, it's a sweet 40K tournament. They apparently have amazing terrain for 40K, really? Is what they're known for. That's what I've heard, anyway.
Well, I keep, like, stretching my legs out and accidentally playing footsie with you.
Oh, yeah, Nick. I fucking love that.
Anyways,
shit.
Also, I guess the week after this drops, the weekend after this drops will be Cole and Claw weekend in
Dallas. Right.
Is it in Dallas?
Yeah, it's in Dallas.
It's in Dallas. It's 4th of July weekend. Yeah. Donish is running that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go sign up now for it. If you pre-reg, it costs a whole lot less. I think, Nick, you're going to be there.
I'm probably gonna try. I don't know. The whole 2 weeks of cons in a row has kind of hit me recently.
That's right. Yeah. Remember last week?
Yeah, when Nick was like, "No, I'm fucking ready for this shit." Fuck you.
Yeah. Trust me. I unfortunately will not be able to make it. I have one of my old friends from college. His family is having a thing for getting married or whatever.
Yeah, wedding stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's a party. It's a shower or something.
I got wedding stuff.
All right, any other announcements? Gen Con's coming up. I think Will's going to that.
Yeah, me and Jeremy Lee will be there. I think we're the only two from Asgard.
Space City Con, of course. Oh, we'll talk about then. I just posted the War Machine events on the website, so you go sign up for that.
There's going to be a lot of people there.
There's going to be a sweet.
I still need to go sign up as a judge or whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
There.
Pretty sure we're good, Nick.
Yeah, I think you're getting
Mike, I'm not going to sign up as a judge.
That's fine. Okay. I'll be sure to make a note of it. But yeah, August 2nd through 4th in Houston, go sign up for it. And then after that in October, which is a ways off, I know, is going to be the third annual Clash for a Cure in Waco. Definitely go sign up for that. It's a really fun tournament.
Machine Weekend Invitational Alternate Qualifier.
Unfortunately, none of us will be there.
Oh wait, y'all will all be in, Team USA will be in Belgium, right?
No, it's the week of my wedding.
Oh. What?
It's the weekend of my wedding.
No, it's not. Your wedding's in September.
It's the 29th, right?
Yeah.
Clash is on October.
Oh. I thought it was that weekend.
I hope not.
Well, I won't be there because I'll be in Europe.
Yeah.
Drinking awesome Belgium beer.
I hear it's good.
Yeah. Apparently it's very strong.
Yeah, Norbert says it's very good. It's not, it's very different from what,
it's good,
like American
beer. Because I don't really like American beer.
Beer. But yeah, Clash for a Cure. Sorry, I got sidetracked again.
It is in fact September 27th through the 29th.
Is that your wedding weekend?
That is my wedding weekend.
I will try to make it to your wedding.
Mike, I swear to God, if you go to that instead of being in the bridal party for my wedding. Bridal? I don't know what that's called.
The wedding party?
Groom party. If you're in the bridal party, I'll be impressed.
Yeah. I don't think your fiance would appreciate that.
Will is a big fan of drag queens.
That's true, but not my
No, drag. No one needs
it's
to see
not
that.
Not the same thing.
But, well, darn it.
I don't think he would tuck.
No. Let's stop talking about that.
Are you freeballing it?
Yeah. This just got way too weird.
Why?
But anyways, definitely go to Clash. Apparently will not be there this year because I will be at Will's wedding.
Mike, you don't think people want to hear about you dressing as a drag queen and freeballing?
I certainly don't want to hear about it.
I mean, let's be honest, there's not going to be any freeballing. He's going to be wearing stockings.
Yeah, this entire part could just be cut out.
Well, really, does he need to talk? He is Asian.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he this entire part should testicles. Probably be cut out.
That's true.
Anyways, I think that's all for announcements. No, I know it's not. I give two shits, honestly. I'm just saying it probably should, not that it will.
We have definitely entered the silly part of the episode. People know what they get into after about an hour and 15 with us.
It's true.
Now what we're working on.
Fun drag queen fact of the episode. They use duct tape to tape their wiener to their butt cheek.
What? Alright. I hate you so much.
Will, I have a question. What do they use to get the duct tape off?
I have never found the answer to that question. I would assume their hands. Yeah.
Cause that sounds terrible.
Alright. Shut up. You wanted to go get pie, so let's wrap this up.
I fucking love pie.
All right, what are we working on? Go ahead.
I'm working on a Lucan list right now. I'm really happy with my Aurora list at the moment. But I'm working on a Lucan list that has reciprocators in it, and a Prime Axiom, and a Cypher. And so far, that list has completely ground out basically every army it's played against, except for Cliff's P-Mad deck, where the dice were, let us just say, interesting.
The dice weren't that much above average.
No, but they were consistently a little bit above average, which sure. Mulg one-shotted every reciprocator in the unit. It was interesting. But other than that, it's successfully ground out
with no problem.
I was kind of upset, yes. And I apologize, Cliff, I was upset. Or I was upset, but I apologize for being upset. It's good.
Alright, Mike, what are you working on?
I am right now playing Signar again, because Convergence not having all their stuff released yet just irritates me, and I hate playing with proxies. So right now I'm playing Signar again. I'm playing...
Mike doesn't want to play with the cock till he can play with all the cock.
That is correct. So I rebuilt an E-Haley list. I don't like double Stormall E-Haley. I think it's a little bit too inflexible. It is very powerful for sure, and I know that's something that Billy would absolutely argue with me to the end of time about.
Well, that's a good thing Billy's not here.
yeah. So right now, instead of that, I've put in Thorn and the max unit of Tempest Blazers. They worked out really well.
Deceleration on them is legit.
Deceleration is awesome with them. Deadeye is still really useful on them, and when you take Ion and Holt, and you can harm things, POW 12, brutal damage from
that's
10 inches away.
Bear.
Yeah, but, and then they can, and they
sure,
can run
the charge dice.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, they'll shoot you from 10 inches away and then walk back 5 inches, so they're always out of threat range. So when I played it, I've had a lot of fun. And then right now I'm also trying to work on I really want to play Nemo 1 or Nemo 2, but it's just so hard to, like, design a list for. Nemo 1's a lot of fun, but man, he just needs, like...
He is amazing against Convergence.
He needs so many more points. Like, I don't know, like, I don't think you take Stormwall with him, necessarily. I think you take a whole bunch of, like, cheaper Jack Spam and a Lancer because, Bolt is hilarious.
Well,
it's colossal.
I don't think he's that good against Convergence. Only because the Cypher Blast damage can kill him.
I think.
All right, fair point.
I honestly think you take Tactical Arcanist Core, the dwarf things with him.
Yep.
Obvious list choice is obvious.
I'm just saying, like,
my name is Makachuri Werner. That's the obvious thing.
Really? After what Nick said in this episode, you're gonna do that to me?
I haven't said obvious things. I said dumb things.
Correct.
All right. Okay.
I can't make fun of retarded people anymore, Mike. We might offend someone.
Okay. Let's stop it. All right, so yeah, working on Signar again.
I did stop. Nick, you brought this up.
Shut up.
Alright, I played one game since our last podcast. I played the Aurora tier list against the Family Reunion, which was a miserable grind that I ended up losing.
Nice.
But it was closer than I thought it was.
Well, Family Reunion.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
So.
Alright, I think that's it for us.
Ah, man. Our last two episodes have been long.
That's good.
How long has this
They've
been?
Also been good.
Yeah, this one's an hour and a half. Turns out when we have a topic and no Billy, our episodes are good.
Boosh. Also, because Billy's not here, I have to say something about strippers and or blow.
Okay, are you sure that's not Mike Prier?
Well, we already talked about how Scott Ray probably did not punch a stripper.
Oh, that's
so
true. We've
already talked about strippers.
Yep. Okay, that was it.
Okay, good.
All right, peace out.
All right, night, guys.
Later, dogs.
Wow. Who wants to see some really high school-esque Facebook stupid shit?